enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Oscar's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
Your body's filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, your heart's beating faster. It's even a little harder to breathe. Your neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is mere insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100%
Should I open up the site? What do you want me to do?
Reporting the dangers. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio!
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Greetings. It's 3 o'clock in the east, 12 o'clock in the west, 9 o'clock in France. And we have a global audience and global co-hosts to discuss the perilous state of affairs that we find ourselves in through the machinations, the duplicity, and the double-crossing of Joe Biden, the current resident in the White House, and NATO, and the EU, before which I now often put a P. I call it the PU, as it stinks. They've lured Ukraine into a trap. They've sacrificed Ukraine like a sacrificial lamb on the altar of the New World Order and the military-industrial complex. And the poor Ukrainians are having hell to pay. And that's going to be the subject of discussion, along with the reverberations through Canada and the world of the Truckers Freedom Convoy, which has fallen into the background as a result of this incredible wagging the dog's tail that Biden and Jake Sullivan and wink and blink and a nod in the nod and out is in the Department of Defense, where we have total incompetence and totally corrupt officials luring countries into self-destruction. I'm here with Dr. Raymond Singer, who's in New Mexico. I'm also here with Sean Noylan, who is in Normandy, France, and a special guest, David Pfaff, who's been a longtime friend and supporter of our show. He's a very well established financier among many other things, a scientist, researcher, and expert in geopolitics. And we're going to hear his views on the Ukrainian situation, the Canadian situation. But first, I'd like to welcome back Sean Nguyen to the program after a three-week hiatus. We had some internet problems the last two times that he was on, but then he's also been very busy with the publication of his new book, and he's looking for a publisher. So if there are any publishers out there interested in publishing what I'm sure will be a bestseller, Sean Nguyen can be contacted through Robert Morningstar. And my address, email address, is robert.morningstar@gmail.com. Now, since we lost Sean twice due to technical difficulties, I'd like to turn the floor over to him to catch up. He said that he had a scientific report, and also he's going to join in on this Ukrainian situation. So let's go to Sean Nguyen in Normandy, France. Sean, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on the program again, Robert. Yeah, it is indeed. I have a 10-volume series called Transcending Transhumanism, and it's ready to go. And you can find some of the papers in the edited part of it on bionoetics.org. That's bionoetics.org. And I have also written a new book in the past few weeks, which actually will be part of it. So it's Transcending Transhumanism, : Body, Soul, and Spirit, because what I'm arguing is that this fake pandemic has been essentially about trying to control us. You can't get too conspiratorial about this fake pandemic, folks. Everything you hear is actually an understatement of what's really going on. Are they trying to change your DNA? Yes, they are. Are they trying to control you with 5G? Yes, they are. And I've had the great privilege of, since June the 6th, D-Day, 2021, revealing an awful lot of this agenda. And as I do state every now and then, I did teach and research biology at both Stanford and Berkeley. So last week, Robert very kindly played a little podcast about the redefinitions of words that they had done. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the various misdirections and misinformation that they used. Now, there was just one goal and one goal only, and that was to find some kind of reason, some kind of plausible motivation to lock people up for years so that they would submit themselves to these injections. Now, the head, the CEO of Bayer, for example, said in public he didn't think any more than 5% of people would have agreed to take those injections without the lockdowns and without the propaganda. So I'm going to talk about that for a bit, but there is one part of this which is utterly scandalous, and it's you as U.S. taxpayers, it's your tax money. I'm going to focus on that with Robert's permission just at the end of this discourse. So for me, my interest in this was primarily sparked by the fact that most of my experimental work in the past 20 years has been in neuroscience. And neuroscience is very tough to do. What you can do is the work that the 5G stuff is based on is work that came out of the laboratory of Jack Gallant in Berkeley. And what they have managed to do is basically, if they choose three different movie trailers and do an fMRI on your brain, they can say which movie trailer you're looking at. Now, big deal. I mean, kind of unbelievable that that was considered significant. That's 2010. There's also further work by Jack Gallant's lab in published in 2018, where they got people to listen to the Moth Hour, which is, some of you, you're American, so you know it's a set of stories. And they found they could do an fMRI of your brain and basically find out what you've been listening to and do what they called a semantic analysis, though it's no such thing. Now, when you hear Elon Musk saying things like, they will have technology soon that you won't actually have to talk to somebody because his technology will allow you to transfer your thoughts telepathically. That's what he's referring to. He's referring to this work. So essentially, the start of this, I'm a neuroscientist and I teach a summer school in Italy every year, or at least did until the fake pandemic. So the students, we wanted to get them interested in our work, which basically, if you look at my thick skull here, and your skull is perhaps not as thick, but you put electrodes on this and you try and detect a faint electrical signal within the brain, it's going to be a very noisy signal. And we wanted to interest the students in the methodology we developed to do that. So it's a very faint extracellular signal. That means that it's outside the cell. And we just thought around May 2020, hey, let's look at the data for COVID-19 across a few countries. And let's see what generalizations we can arise at from there. And we were, I then had a brainwave and basically said, why don't we put the number of transmissions on the y-axis and the hours of daylight on the x-axis. And bingo, problem solved. So by May 2020, folks, the problem of the epidemiology of COVID-19 had been solved, and we knew we had solved it. I immediately got on local TV in Ireland. The video is on foundationsofmind.org/videos. foundationsofmind.org/videos. Sorry, say that again. foundationsofmind.org/videos. It's there because it was taken off YouTube because it was the truth. And Google does not want to know you the truth, does not want you to know the truth. It wants you to have injections to change your DNA and to turn into part human, part bat. And that is what Google wants you to do. It's what Facebook wants to do. It's what Fauci wants to do. It doesn't want you to be human anymore. So basically, we solved this. And to prove we had solved it, we got onto the authorities in North Dakota in October and November 2020. And we said, hey, we can predict the number of transmissions you're going to have in October and November. And over 19 days, we got to within 1%. Now, this is kind of interesting because you would have thought they would have been delighted with us because that would have meant that they could predict the amount of ICU beds that they would need. On the contrary, they replied, it was Indian and Kenyan people, and I've told the story before, but it bears repetition. The Indian guy said, but I can do that by locking the people down for 3 weeks. True story. So this is nothing about health. This is nothing to do with health. It has nothing to do with welfare. It was about finding a motivation to lock people down so that they would find it acceptable to take these injections. If you've taken some, stop taking them for your own sake. Otherwise, you're going to be dead soon. Now, what interested me in particular was the false trails that were laid down. So we found a paper by a guy called Carlson. That's Carlson with a C. And what he said that, sure, SARS-CoV-2 decays in sunlight. So we nailed it. Its decay is going to be very much dictated by the hours of daylight. But he said, it decays in sunlight, but that doesn't matter. And why doesn't it matter? Well, I don't have a clue. Well, why don't you all just F off? I've no interest in writing any more of this paper. That is a pretty good summary of the Carlson paper that dominated the government policies over the past 2 years, in which you lost 2 years of your life. Then there was a paper by ZHOU from China in 2020. I understand that is pronounced more like Zhou than Zhao. But Zhou's paper in 2020 is one of the major sources of disinformation. So it's also like Carlson's paper in one of the Nature series of journals. And it basically says there couldn't possibly have been a lab origin of this COVID-19. We just got our hands on it in the past few weeks, and look what we found. Now, the problem with that was they were able to prove that, in fact, they'd had their hands on it 3 years before. Somebody found a Twitter feed And so they have to produce an addendum to the paper. When you're producing an addendum like that, you are admitting that you're lying. But this was really as nothing compared to the revelations from James LeDuc of Galveston. Now, James LeDuc is the guy who set up the Wuhan lab. I would say that again. James LeDuc of Galveston, the virology lab there, which is a BSL-4 lab, biosafety level 4 lab, the top level, he set up the Wuhan lab in 1986. And he trained many of the so-called virologists there. This is James LeDuc. Now, I'm mentioning his name yet again because we did write to Vinit Minicherry of Galveston Lab yesterday and basically sent him one of the papers that he had written and asked him, is this Omicron? Because we know that you produced SARS-CoV-2 in the first place. But can you confirm that this paper of Johnson et al. In 2021, can you confirm that this is Omicron? And, of course, we haven't got a reply, so take it that it is. Omicron was actually produced as a response to as the solution to the so-called pandemic. Bill Gates, who Robert played on the program last week, has admitted that. And Omicron was also from the Galveston Lab, headed by James LeDuc, and the major player there is a guy called Vinit Minicherry.
So, I have a question. How did they disperse the Omicron? How was it distributed around the world to become the vaccine that Bill Gates was lamenting? He said, sadly, Omicron is a vaccine, and it's worked better than our vaccine injections. So how was Omicron able to get around the world so quickly? How did they disperse it?
Okay, I'm going to answer that, Robert. I thank you for the question, but you're not really going to like the answer because this is how it works. So basically, to make these toxins more infectious in human cells, what they do is a process called passaging. So what passaging involves in this case is they abort a human being. While the human being is still alive, they take some cells from that human being and they put them into a mouse who has been irradiated so their immune system goes down. The immune system collapses. Now, you pass the agent, the SARS-CoV-2, through this chimeric creature, which is an irradiated mouse with human cells, and you pass it through maybe 500 times, and you get a gene change of between 3% and 10%. This is called passaging, folks. This is what your taxpayers' money has been paying for. So basically, I'm going to answer your question now. So with Omicron, what they did was they continued this passaging until they found something that they knew could outcompete the Alpha strain or the Delta strain or any of the other strains. So right now, as we speak, 99.9% of the cases of COVID-19 that are out there are Omicron. And it was basically a matter of evolutionary biology of producing something that was much more attractive to the ACE2 receptor than any other strain of SARS-CoV-2. So that's actually how that happened. Does that answer your question?
Well, actually, not exactly how it was released and spread worldwide so quickly as to become the effective vaccine that it
so
has.
So basically, what they did was they chose a country where there was a low vaccination rate. And that was South Africa. And they tried it out there. And they found that it spread very quickly as they had hoped. And the doctor who was in charge of it, Dr. Kotseya, was told to shut up about the fact that it was actually did not cause much damage. And so we can take it that Karen Kingston makes the point there was mass spraying in the New York subways of the original SARS-CoV-2, and we can take it something like this happened from
Yes. I personally believe it was aerosolized and perhaps chemtrailed all over the world.
Yeah. That's actually almost certainly true. And you know, so basically, if they produce something which is as promiscuous, as it were, as Omicron, but actually kills people, then we're all going to be dead. And this is not a theoretical construct. This is not an academic trying to frighten people to get research funds, because I don't have any research funds. But I can tell you that, for example, Nobel Prize in Physics, who is at the Leopoldina, Professor Wiesendanger, was on primetime TV in Germany a month ago, basically talking to these virologists and saying, look, do you want to kill us all? Are you trying to eradicate humanity? Is that really what's going on there? So we can definitely say there was massive fraud. We can definitely point to James LeDuc and the laboratory in Galveston and his employee, Vineet Menacheri. LeDuc had a very interesting correspondence with Philip Russell, who was the head medical guy in the U.S. Army and has since deceased. So he's died during the epidemic, and revealed an awful lot of what was going on. So the Wuhan lab, as you thought, probably most of you suspected this, was actually set up by American virologists. Now, the thing that interested me most, actually, because I got into this more or less as a neuroscientist and looking at the statistics, and why were they using this incredibly inept statistics model from 1927? Because the statistics model that they used is actually for bacterial infections. And the reason for that is when they created the SIR model that was imposed by the World Health Organization, nobody knew what a virus was. It wasn't until 1939 that basically people came to the conclusion that a virus was RNA plus protein, or DNA plus protein, and there are still people out there who are saying, you know, that's not really quite right either. But in any case, we looked at this as neuroscientists and said, why the hell are they using this? And the answer to why they were using this is basically because they wanted to find a pretext to lock you down. And they got all these idiot medical doctors, I mean morons, people who really, really are a disgrace to any profession, let alone the medical profession, to get on TV and look really concerned and talk complete bollocks about things they knew nothing whatsoever about. And that was pretty much international. So we suffered from it just as much as you did. And basically then the other, we talked about the redefinitions last week of pandemic, of vaccine, of herd immunity. But one of the fascinating things was that the PCR test was obviously completely and utterly wrong as well. So the PCR test could not distinguish SARS-CoV-2 from flu. The CDC admitted that in July 2021. In actual fact, I think what my colleagues and I in Foundations of Mind, what we were discovering using new techniques in medicine was actually the epidemiology of RNA viruses in general, of single-strand RNA viruses in general, not specifically SARS-CoV-2. The next thing we know was a complete lie, was the number of deaths. So the number of deaths is basically currently in the UK, the National Statistics Office and National Health Service say the number of deaths is 5,000, and the government still says it's 150,000. In general, the deaths are 5% from COVID-19 of what they say they are. So the stat I've just given you in Britain is actually a 30th, so that's more like 3%. But the deaths from the injections are actually 20 times what they're stating, which means that there are about 700,000 in the European Union. Now, the most disgraceful episode in all of this is the original phone calls and teleconference involving Anthony Fauci, involving Christian Anderson, involving Robert Gary, involving Michael Farrar, who's the head of the Wellcome Trust. And those of you who are finding this very information dense, and I can't blame you if you're finding it, and it's very painful for me as well, by the way, particularly talking about aborted human beings being channeled into rats, and basically the abortions continuing and demand for abortion being continued so that they can actually do these truly satanic, demonic experiments. All of these people should be basically hung right now. Fauci, Francis Collins, every single one of them, in my opinion. But we do have a huge document trail at the moment about the debate of the origins of COVID-19. And they were at great pains to hide the fact that it came from the Wuhan lab. And the problem they had was in January the 31st, 2020, there was correspondence between Anthony Fauci, Christian Anderson, Michael Farrar, Farzan. Some of these are top academics. Christian Anderson at the time was a relatively junior one. And all these people agreed that the chances that SARS-CoV-2 came from the lab was between 60 and 80%. So, for example, Eddie Jones, and that's a name you should remember, Eddie Jones, he's an Australian, said that the chances it came from the lab was 60 to 80%, and he should know, because he was actually in Wuhan, in the lab, while it was being made. The methodology they agreed on February the 1st, at a further meeting, and these are Farzan and Michael Farzan and Robert Gary. Remember those names, actually. Just keep them at the back of your mind, because they're about to get very rich. These guys, Michael Farzan, Robert Gary, Chris Anderson, are all about to get very rich with your money. The money, if you're a shopkeeper, the money that sale you made today, and you are basically going to give about $2 of that away to the government. About 30 cents of that $2 went to these bastards. So let's actually continue this for a second. So Farzan and Gary agreed that there was evidence of passaging, and that's that gothic, demonic, satanic ritual involving an aborted human being and a mouse. And the next thing was passaging. Was the furin site. So we have passaging, but we've also got the furin site. Now, they couldn't get the furin site together with passaging. The furin site is actually very clearly done with up to 1,770 insertions, according to Richard Fleming. So in order for this demonic infectious agent to become really, really a problem in your body, it has to be cleaved by an enzyme called furin. The S1 and S2 parts of the proteins have to be cleaved by furin. And anybody who looked at this, including Christian Anderson, it became clear this furin cleavage site was actually engineered in the laboratory. That was in February the 1st. And later that day, in February the 1st, they got together and started drafting a paper saying it couldn't possibly have come from a laboratory. So I'm actually just, you heard me correctly. It's not just my funny accent. On February the 1st, early that day, they said that basically this furin site had to have come from a laboratory. And later that day, on February the 1st, they started drafting a paper proving that it couldn't have come from a laboratory. So what made the difference? Well, $50 million plus, coming from you, the taxpayer, to these people, to Gary, Kristen Anderson, to Peter Daszak, that's what made the difference. So on February the 3rd, all these guys who had been so against the idea of a laboratory origin gave a presentation to the National Academy of Science saying that it must have come from nature, and it must have come from nature because we have $50 million we just got from Fauci. Fauci on February the 4th. So currently we've got these guys have had this damascene, this Pauline conversion from lab origin to origin of the wild from a pangolin, which of course was a creature nobody had ever heard of up to then. On February the 4th, Fauci commented that this must have come from a transgenic mouse. So basically, the very thing that he was going to deny later, he made a note saying that it has to have come from a transgenic mouse. Now, the transgenic mouse is that gothic procedure that I'm not going to describe again. So, but it is very clear that he knew that this was the money that he illegally gave to Peter Daszak, that Daszak then gave to the Wuhan laboratory, and that it had been used to basically destroy all our lives for the past 2 years.
Yes.
So we have a very good document trail on this. If you want a very coherent explanation of this, there are two great journalists working for the Epoch Times. They are Hans Mahnke, M-A-H-N-K-E. That's a Ukrainian name, by the way, M-A-H-N-K-E. And Jeff Carlson, who produce a brilliant broadcast called Truth or News. And I recommend that you look at their explanations of these over the past few months. And their articles are really good. Thank you.
I'm going to ask Raymond Singer if he has any comments or questions, and then I want to get into the subject of Ukraine, and later in the second hour we'll follow up with Canada. So, Dr. Raymond Singer.
Thank you, Sean, for your outstanding analysis of where we're at, and I just wanted to just bring out a couple points that you made to be sure that the audience can understand what's going on. And I believe you said that the number of deaths reported from COVID is 3 to 5% of what is publicized. And the amount of deaths from the COVID injections, the so-called vaccines, is 20 times what has been publicized.
Yeah, there's an appalling symmetry about this, but yeah, the we have very good data from the UK, and in the UK, the National Statistics Office and the National Health Service converge on the fact that they are about 5% of what is, sorry, that they are about 5,000, whereas the government is still insisting that it's 150,000, that's 3%. Whereas, in fact, the number of deaths from the injections are 20 times what they are claiming that they are. So in the EU at the moment, it's around 700,000. In the United States, it's about 500,000 people who have died from these injections.
Isn't it interesting that the CDC and the FDA and NIH also revised, after a year of citing the mega deaths, they revised the estimate based strictly on coroner's reports, and it reduced it to 6%. So they had been claiming at that time it was about 600,000 deaths that they claimed had perished as a result of COVID. And now, and then, this is now about 6 months ago, they changed it and said that of that total 600,000, at the time, only 6% had actually died exclusively of COVID. So the COVID comorbidities are blamed for that. But the reality is that, I don't know if they used it in England, but in the United States, the majority of people died because of the medication, remdesivir, that was prescribed by Anthony Fauci to the exclusion of everything else that worked. Hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, chlorine dioxide, all of these things were banned. And only remdesivir could be given to people in hospitals. People went into the hospital and asked for ivermectin. They refused. And they had some of them, lucky ones who could afford it, went to courts where federal judges ordered them, the hospitals, to give the people ivermectin. I actually have been taking ivermectin now for over a month. I had a very, very severe case of the flu. I don't know if it was corona. I've had corona last year. Then I had the Omicron. And then I had the flu that hits me every January, February, like clockwork, as if it's dormant in my body and it wakes up every January, February, March to do its dirty work. But ivermectin helped me get through it. I'm also drinking chlorine dioxide. It's a mixture called MMS, Miracle Mineral Solution. It's available at Amazon, and it produces a tremendous amount of oxygenation. And the important thing about chlorine dioxide is that Dr. Andreas Kalker proved that it breaks up blood clots. He showed videos, electron micrographic videos, of his injection of chlorine dioxide into the veins of people who had severe blood clots. And you could see the blood clots dissolving in the presence of the dioxide in particular. So we've all been hoodwinked, as we are being hoodwinked right now about the war in Ukraine. And I will turn to Dr. Singer for a couple of more comments. And then I want to turn to David Pfaff to open the discussion on the Ukrainian situation. Dr. Singer.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. Going back a little bit to some other topics that you brought up, Sean, about a week ago, you sent out to us the information about Bill Gates and the video that was recorded about his statements. And this was a fascinating thing to listen to, because, and I know we talked about this, but I wanted to bring it up again because it seems very probative, where Bill Gates says he's very sad about how effective Omicron has been in preventing serious illness. He admitted that Omicron is a vaccine. He admitted it's much more effective to prevent serious illness than the vaccines that he's been promoting, the COVID vaccines. He said that 80%, even in Africa, have immunity as a result of Omicron. And he said it's greatly to be regretted, and that they'll get it right next time with an injection ready within 6 months, when the next iteration of a biological agent arises, by a warfare agent. And he said, regrettably, even the elderly are now safe. So it was a very bizarre presentation. And and Sean did point out, well, maybe he's losing his cognitive skills. But the point is that he practically admitted that the hoax that we've been under.
Yes,
2 years.
I mean, you know, you can't stress this enough. I mean, my doctorate is actually in computer science, you know, and it's important for you guys out there to realize that Bill Gates is actually not very clever. Bill Gates never passed a year at college. He had very supportive and wealthy parents. He failed at college. He didn't pass. Then he failed as a computer entrepreneur. And his mom was actually on the board of United Way with the chairman of IBM. So basically, they sent a plane load of people down there to rescue Mrs. Gates's son. And essentially, Bill Gates's software was written by a guy, the MS-DOS that now is Windows system was by a guy called Michael Patterson. It was not written by Bill Gates. Bill Gates, to my knowledge, has never written anything after the first BASIC. But to get back to something that's really important about this, he basically admitted in public that he is really sad that, look, the pandemic is over. Omicron has actually cured the pandemic. And even the elderly and people with these pre-existing conditions are, and even in the third world, are now out of harm's way. And he says, this is a really sad situation. But by God, we're going to make sure everybody gets injected the next time. Because you're not going to have a choice in the matter. We're going to have an injection just lined up for all you people. So just let us actually be very real about this, folks. This had nothing to do with saving your health. This had everything to do with getting you injected and getting you on a treadmill of getting these monthly injections and not allowing you have your place in society and not allowing you to go to the theater, not allowing you to go to a bar, not allowing you to go to a football game without having had these lethal injections which were made from passaging aborted fetus cells through a mouse. So basically, he gave the whole game away. And yes, I mean, my view is that the guy was never terribly bright anyway. And he is now, like Putin, losing his mental abilities quite a bit. And he forgot for a second that he was in public versus yep. in a room with Oprah and Ted Turner and all these other people who want to wipe out humanity. So basically, in my view, this bastard should be shot. Quickly.
By the way, when we look at Gates at that Munich conference, we see a man who's totally crushed, defeated, an utter failure. In the last year, his whole life has imploded. Most notably, his wife divorced him instantly when she found out the details were released about his visiting Jeffrey Epstein's islands countless times. So this is the end of the road, and you could see him totally collapsed within himself and actually, as you say, losing his marbles, and he shouldn't have had those marbles in the first place. Now I'd like to turn with the remainder of this first hour to my special guest and my special friend, David Pfaff, who lives in San Francisco and has been enduring this terrible, terrible oppression. That's what it is. So we've been oppressed by psychological means. We've been oppressed by physical means, and in no state in the union has it been worse than in the state of California. New York came close, but to be honest with you folks, living in New York City, life didn't change that much for me. I went out, I taught, I lived my life, I wore the mask as only for minutes when I would go into the shop of my friend Mr. Barzini, who has kept us going here in the West Side. Mr. Barzini and the Barzini Market stays open 24/7. He's a real hero in my eyes, so I'm happy to say that to people who are in the New York area at 90th Street and Broadway. Mr. Barzini and his brother, who fled the tyranny of Ayatollah Khomeini back in 1979, opened a store, a marvelous, basically you could call it a Persian market, and he has kept that place open 24/7. It never closes, and we would not have made it through. So God bless Mr. Barzini and his brother. And now let's turn to Ukraine. And David and I have been going over this methodically. Last Christmas, Sean and I were on this program with Michael Jaco, a former U.S. Navy SEAL who had a post-death experience in Afghanistan. And I laid it out then, Joe Biden was out to destroy Ukraine by hook or by crook. And as I see it now, Biden, the EU, and NATO used Ukraine as a stage prop. And they are responsible. They alone are responsible, not Putin. They alone are responsible for rubbing on Putin's blister. That's a saying that came from Nikita Khrushchev that I've never forgotten. We dealt with the Berlin Wall. He said, if you want to worry your opponent, rub on his blister. Well, that's exactly what Joe Biden, the Manchurian candidate, and those, oh, I will refrain from really letting them have it, but the PU and the craven the Craven generals who run NATO, they used Ukraine as a prop. They dangled the prospect of letting them join NATO just to inflame the situation and outrage Putin. And Putin is not a person to mess around with. He's a realist. He's not a sock puppet. He's not deranged. He's a very clear thinking man. And last week I read the proposed draft for assured mutual security that the Russians and Putin were proffering. And it was the most intelligent, logical, reasonable, and commonsensical document that I have ever read to assure mutual security for both NATO, Western Europe, the United States, and Russia. And they just threw it under the bus, as they say here. But they just threw it in the bin. So David has been watching this. So David Pfaff, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to welcome you. This is our second time we've done a program together. We did one on Mark McCandless a while ago. So tell us what you think about what we're being shown and what's really happening in Ukraine.
Well, one of the things that I find very preposterous in the United States media and even the BBC is that they depict the Ukraine as a united group of people that are mostly composed of Russians. And frankly, the Ukraine has always been sort of on the verge of a breakdown because of the various ethnic groups in the Ukraine. I mean, you have areas that are mostly Ukrainian-speaking culture that are composed of Russian Ukrainians. Then you've got Carpathian Ukrainians. You've got Hungarians. You've got Bulgarians. You've got Romanians and Moldovans. And I mean, and then there are certain areas along the Black Sea that are 100% ethnic Russian. But to allege, as the BBC did this morning, that 70% of Ukrainians want to join NATO is completely false. I mean, that is a misrepresentation. And on the broadest sense, and frankly with Ukraine, I'm at a loss as to where to begin because it's such a complex issue, but it really began with Clinton in offering his welcome mat program for the Ukrainians and Georgians and others to join NATO and the EU. And he put out this speech that was, he called it the welcoming mat to join NATO and the EU, which was completely false because there was no intention of the EU to allow the Ukrainian country to join the EU because of the corruption both in government and among the politicians and the social structure. The EU did not want the Ukraine to join at all. The
one important element. I was able to watch President Putin's address live, and it's been kept secret from everyone. They keep saying he recited an essay he wrote in June of 2021. But it was deeper than that. Putin actually revealed that he had approached Bill Clinton and proposed that Russia become part of NATO and that uniting Russia with NATO would really ensure their security because they would be in the same club, and that Clinton rebuffed him. So it shows
this was in 91 during the collapse period.
Right. Go on, David. Yes. I just wanted to point that to people.
And the other thing that I think really backs Putin up and puts the hair on his neck straight up is that there is a huge element that is non-disclosed by the press internationally of a fascist element within the government of Ukraine. And as you know, the Russians in World War II, which really is the origin of this Ukraine problem, Stalin sent in his crack special forces to kill many of these fascists that were in the Ukraine, and many of them survived to this day. And as you know, Putin is deathly afraid, and rightly so, of the fascist element.
Yes. Many of those fascists escaped, along with the paperclip Nazis. Many of the Ukrainian Nazis made their way to the United States and Canada. And they've been operating their own version of the Fourth Reich. The other thing that Putin pointed out is that the Maidan Revolution, the Orange Revolution of 2014, that Obama used that to install a neo-fascist government in Ukraine to just go back to the same corruption that has typified Ukrainian politics and Ukrainian economics. And as I said, Biden was in there in the thick of it, making millions of dollars through his son, Hunter. And now they have all the evidence of his criminality, which is another reason why he wants to see Ukraine destroyed and its president killed.
Of course, they want all those records to disappear. I mean, Ukraine has been the laundering machine of all corrupt Western politicians for the last 30 years. But here's an interesting thing that I was thinking of this morning, which is the larger picture of things. And that is that the Ukraine should be seen within the disastrous delusions of the liberal hegemony, which to me reminds me of, we shall create man in our own image, biblically. And the liberal hegemony politics is that we shall recreate the world in our own image. And this is right out of WEF playbook. And what, who and what the F do the liberals think they are? I mean, the goal here is to insert the tenets of the WEF into every country and instill global, not independence, global interdependence. And that's what's frightening to me, because when you have global independence, you have the pyramid structure, the hierarchy. So who's going to control what in terms of interdependence?
Well, I've come to the conclusion that this ruse, this farce that Biden and the EU and NATO have pulled on the world really boils down to a banking war. And the fact that the ultimate goal was to exclude Russia from the SWIFT system, and thereby they are excising the Russian economy from Western economies and actually forcing it to merge with the Chinese communist economy. So
that's exactly right. And I hope you noticed recently, I mean, this came on the international news yesterday. I forget where I found it. So many links, but the Chinese now have a satellite that in testing, they actually pulled a satellite with a connected to the Swiss system out of orbit and put it in a death spiral.
No kidding. I didn't hear about that.
Yes. Yes. So that is quite frightening. The other thing is that I don't think people here in this country recognize the fact that the Balkans, particularly Ukraine, is really the breadbasket for grains and wheat for all of Europe.
That's right.
Can you imagine a nuclear warhead hitting Chernobyl or somewhere else in the Ukraine? It will destroy the soil producing aspect of the whole grain basket for Europe.
Right.
For centuries.
Right. I understand that now they're talking about peace talks and ceasefires. And Putin tried to lure Zelensky into a trap by telling him, let's meet to talk about...
Meet at the border, right?
No, worse than that, meet in Minsk in Belarus, which is a stupid state. And Zelensky was smart enough, no, thank you. I'll meet you in Warsaw or Berlin, but we're not going to Minsk. He would have been... he'd been Julius Caesar walking into the Senate if he accepted that offer. But at least it seems that some people are trying to come to their senses. And the blowback on Putin has been great. And also, we mentioned this earlier in our emails, failures. I think this is a Russian failure as well as a NATO failure. But failures like this usually create great upheaval in the hierarchies of totalitarian states like Russia. And I see that he might be in a situation similar to Hitler's situation in July of 1944 when the Valkyrie plot was hatched, to get rid of Hitler.
Yeah.
They actually tried to kill him with the bomb. I think that Putin may be walking the same tightrope, because the upheaval in Russia, the Russian people don't want this war. The Ukrainian people don't want this war. And it's obvious to the whole world who does. but the mass media.
Well, the thing about Putin is he's a 19th century dinosaur in a way, and of course Clinton to Obama to Biden, which is really Obama running the show here, I think, is the fact that they want the WEF tenants, put forth on every country. And of course, what does our CIA do? They go around wrecking countries and of course they don't realize that the new replacement government is not necessarily leaning towards a democratic approach, you know?
Exactly so. And I think that the people are realizing how badly we've been abused by the establishment. There isn't one single loyal politician in this administration. They are all puppets of the New World Order. And as you said, I believe Obama has been pulling the strings, and that the people who really rule the United States, and I say rule, not govern, because they're acting autocratically. It's Joe Biden is the puppet, but the puppet master, string puller, is Barack Obama.
Obama.
And his coterie of ANC-inspired. ANC is African National Congress that turned a first world nation, South Africa, into a less than third world nation in a very short period of time by imposing communism on South Africa. The ANC was a communist organization, and Mandela ran the ANC from jail for 25 years. He would give the orders, and his wife, the one I call Winnie the Pooh-Pooh, was the murderer. She would go out and assassinate or send assassin groups to kill people who were standing in the way of their communist revolution. So they're using that South African model here in the United States, but the stupidity of that model is that it can never succeed in the United States. In Africa, the black African population was 85% of the population. Here, African Americans are only 13%. We're at the break. This is Revolution Radio. We will be back in 4 minutes, and we'll continue the discussion with David Pfaff, Sean Palin, and Dr. Singh. And you can...
Natural Law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's IP. Thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
more... Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have. Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I'm seeing such a display of courage, skill, oh, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio, at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Thanks for listening while we take this short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Greetings and welcome back to the Morningstar Report for February 27th, 2022. We are discussing the collapse of the COVID scandemic. We are discussing the war, the contrived war in Ukraine, and we will be discussing ongoing events in Canada. But before we proceed with our special guest, David Pfaff, I want to ask Sean if there's anything else he would like to add to his discourse, whether we left any points unspoken. So, Sean, or perhaps you'd like to comment on your views on Ukraine.
Well, with respect to my views on geopolitics, I'm finding increasingly plausible the view that the long-term plan has been for some time to completely disempower and ultimately eradicate the Anglo-Saxon and Celtic backbone of the North American population. And I think we saw this exemplified in Canada last weekend when these mysterious armed people came in and started beating the crap out of normal Anglo-Saxon, Irish, Scottish people of that ancestry there. Now, the long-term plan, I'm just going to develop this for about 2 minutes. The long-term plan then would be to turn the United States and Canada into farmland, and to move the industrial capacity to China. Now, this sounds like conspiracy theory, but in fact, it's actually happening. The goal is actually best implemented by destroying the U.S. Army, and the injections are doing that. Another hero has come through recently, a guy called Tom Rentz, who's a lawyer from Ohio. As he said, he's just some guy. And whistleblowers in the U.S. Army came to him, and they found that the DMSS data about injuries in the Army from the injections were really just horrific. So a woman called Teresa Long got whistleblower protection from him. And what it indicated was that neural damage was up 1,000%. So in 1 year, the amount of brain injury had gone up 10 times. or in mathematical terms, it's an order of magnitude. Miscarriages were up 300%. Cancer was up 300%. This is the U.S. Army, folks. This is the flower of the youth of the United States. And basically, these people are being mutilated and exterminated with these injections, which you are paying for.
Yeah. I said that it was a Trojan horse from the beginning. And it actually began in the first Gulf War. The first Gulf War resulted in something called Gulf War Syndrome, which the government refused to acknowledge for 20 years. And some of the consequences of those were autoimmune disease and Morgellons. And it turns out that there was a multifunction vaccine that was given to all of the service people, servicemen, servicewomen in the first Gulf War, which was developed by a Chinese scientist named Li Shiqing. And he developed this down in a laboratory in Texas. It was then tested on prisoners in the Texas penitentiary system who came down with this first syndrome, was the Texas penitentiary syndrome, not the Gulf War syndrome. But the strange thing was that the prisoners were given the vaccine. The prisoners came down with the symptoms. The guards were not given the vaccine. The guards came down with the symptoms. The guards had sex with their wives. Their wives came down with the symptoms. And that is the first instance that I know of shedding. When it was happening, I was working with Dr. Gary Null. Dr. Raymond Singer was working along with us on a documentary about vaccinating children. And it was Gary Null who discovered these documents. So the George Bush administration had given a mega million-dollar contract to a Chinese scientist to use his vaccine on our service people. And I said that was a Trojan horse. They should never have done it. Now they've done it a second time. But the good news, at least for Navy men, is that the Department of the Navy has refused to implement Joe Biden's mandates to inject every Navy man and Navy woman with this vaccine. They've told them no go. So they're holding out, even though we have lost an F-35 in the Pacific, where the pilot had to bail out after an adverse reaction to the vaccine. We've lost helicopters. We've lost two Navy SEALs who died during training, during Hell Week, out there and near San Diego. So this thing is lethal. It's being kept away, kept from the public. And the military has to stand up for its own survival, folks. As I said, the country's being run by Winken, Blinken, and Nod. Joe Biden is winking out. Blinken is the boob in the State Department who created the disaster in Libya along with his cohort. You know, I call it the fairy department at the U.S. State Department, which is Blinken, Jake Sullivan, and a guy I call Ned Priceless. These three very queer men have led us into the worst debacles militarily that we have known in many, many years. And they are the architects. They are the engineers of this event in Ukraine. So I would like to turn back, if Dr. Raymond Singer has a comment on Ukraine, I'll go with him. Otherwise, we'll return to David Pfaff.
Yes, I had two comments. One, you've probably seen the news that Putin ordered his nuclear strike force to be on high alert. And that's a very dangerous development, because for so many obvious reasons, but also the reason that it could be accidentally triggered by as accidents have happened in the past. Yes. So here you talked about the State Department and what they've led us into, and it's extremely serious and a horror. It's almost a war crime to bring us to the brink of nuclear exchange with Russia over a skirmish in Europe. And as you've pointed out, and I'll remind the listeners, George Washington in his farewell address advised us to avoid getting involved with treaties it with any nation. We shouldn't be favoring any nation in Europe or anywhere in the world. We should be on friendly terms with every nation, wish them well, but not make pacts with them that will go to war for them, with them, no matter what. Exactly. And our State Department has essentially betrayed us and bring us to the brink of something that could be quite horrible.
Well, the State Department is manned not by Americans, but by New World Orderlies. They are part of this insane plan for the Great Reset, which involves America being deprived of all the blessings that we've earned for ourselves. The most obvious one is that they are taking away transportation, mobility from the people. They have scuttled the internal combustion engine, which is what built America. And now it's outlawed in California already. The internal combustion engine has been outlawed in California, is being phased out for something. It's so stupid, the electric car. And where does the electric car get its energy? Electricity. And where does electricity come from? We can't make it without atomic, without fossil fuels. But this is the insanity. The most insane person I've seen in the last couple of days is John Kerry, who, when asked about the war in Ukraine, said, well, I hope that Russia will stick to its commitment about climate change, which is the greatest threat we face today. Folks, everybody likes warm weather, including polar bears. So let me give you a little statistic. NASA was mapping and tagging polar bear populations over the last 30 years. In 2002, there were about 15,000 polar bears. And the latest statistic, which came out about a year and a half or two ago, was that the polar bear population had grown to 40,000 during this global warming period. So I say everybody likes warm weather, even polar bears. So don't fall for this junk science, which is being dumped on us left and right. I would like to turn back to David Pfaff and continue and then migrate the conversation to Canada and how these events in Canada are also part of this global banking war that is going on. And it's tied in. What's happening in Canada is tied in to the same program to excise Russia's economy from the Western economy.
I think I can provide a nice segue for you, Robert.
Please do.
Again, to echo my sentiments, Putin is a 19th century balance of power guy. That's his mindset. And I believe that he does have some death squads out there to seek out the fascists that are in the government of the Ukraine, because there's no group that the Russians hate more than the Nazi fascists that are within the Ukraine government. But I do think that you cannot underestimate Putin's desire for the Ukrainian real estate, given his strategic interest in the balance of power mindset from the 19th century. And yes, I think what he will do is totally destroy the Ukraine before allowing us to have any influence whatsoever. And this is the tragedy. I see it as a potential Cambodian killing field in the making. And in terms of the fascists, that's exactly what, the emergency in Canada. Of course, I can't figure out what the emergency is, but of course, Queen Justine alleges that it's Trumpian activists and his alleging that there are Nazi fascists in Canada attempting to overthrow the government. And he pointed out two placards in a crowd of thousands of placards of protesters that had a Nazi insignia on them. And that was his justification for an emergency war act, that there are Nazis attempting to overthrow the government. I mean, give me a break.
Well, you see, this is a typical big lie that communists always use. And now, the good thing about this is that Trudeau's true colors have been exposed. Even Tucker Carlson came out a week and a half ago and exposed his real paternity, and that is that Justin Trudeau is Fidel Castro's son. So we call him Trudeau Castro now.
His mother was the great whore of the international scene. We know that. Yeah.
They all play their roles in this this pantomime that they are orchestrating on the global theater to force true the prophecies of the Book of Revelation. Because another group that's been taken over is fundamentalist Christians, and they've been bamboozled inside out with this idea that that Israel is the apple of God's eye, and that that Christianity is dependent on it. Nothing could be farther from the truth, because Christianity was a complete upheaval, a revolution, you might say, in godhood. Jesus supplanted an evil, despotic, demonic,
right,
jealous tyrant with a God of love, and he never said the word Yahweh. In the Gospels, he always referred to God as his Father. As simple as
right.
that.
Right.
So,
and I think you're right. The Canadian banks are involved because their reputations have been stained in international banking for decades as a result of this whole affair.
I think it's the banks that really reined in Trudeau. As soon as I saw that they were seizing bank accounts and seizing cryptocurrency, I said, this is the end of Trudeau. He's got no more power, because the banks are going to come down on him so hard. I heard that the bank's worth dropped 28% in a week as a result of that edict. And now he's like a cornered rat. And cornered rats, like all cornered animals, are very dangerous creatures. So
Canadians,
beware. I wonder if Sean has any thoughts on the Canadian situation there.
Well, I lived in Canada for 3 years. I worked for the National Research Council in Ottawa. It's funny, because we're talking about Russia and Canada, which are the two biggest countries in the world. And my understanding is that Canada is, in fact, slightly bigger than Russia, as it turns out. Now, just to describe to people what Ottawa is usually like, I lived downtown for 2 years. I lived just beside where those demonstrations were. And at that time, this is a true story, you could actually walk straight into Parliament and attend a sitting. So basically, for example, I was there when Vice Premier Sheila Copps was forced to resign. The day that it became clear that there was so much opposition for her that she had to resign her seat, and then she ran again and got re-elected. I was there that day. I walked in. My colleague, Rob Orchard, at the National Research Council, walked in one day in shorts. And they told him, you can't come in here in shorts. And he said, I'm a taxpayer. I will wear shorts if I want to. And they let him in. Now, describe Ottawa to you as it normally is. So I worked with the National Research Council, which is about 3 miles from downtown. And beside us was CSIS, which is the Canadian CIA. But being a Canadian CIA, and I kid you not, you took the number 2 bus, and one of the stops was in CSIS. So I am not joking. You could literally get off the bus and walk straight into the Canadian CIA building. This is in the mid-90s. Now, so when I saw what was happening on the Hill, which I loved living in Ottawa, and they were very kind to me. They were really, really decent people. When I saw what was happening, I really, literally could not believe it. So I think we can read this as an attempted coup d'etat by Justin Trudeau. It was an attempted coup d'etat. He has to go. They have to get rid of him to save Canadian democracy. And again, I'm Irish, and many Irish men and women, great people, died to make sure we did not have dominion status like Canada, Australia, New Zealand. They died because they wanted us to be a republic, even when it looked like everything was basically insuitable. Everything was going to work much better if we accepted being in the Commonwealth and having our head of state as the Queen. And no, the Irish refused that, and we are a republic. we handled things an awful lot better as a result. And if you look at the countries which have done really, really badly out of this so-called pandemic, it's Canada, New Zealand, Australia, all Commonwealth countries.
Yes.
These scenes we saw last weekend, I mean, who were these soldiers? I mean, there were all kinds of rumors about United Nations planes arriving, which I don't believe.
I saw those planes on the runway. I saw a woman. The Canadians are really smart people. This lady saw these two UN planes, one UN plane with the UN marker on the tail, but the other plane had it painted out black. And when I saw those military people in Ottawa, I said to Raymond and to Andrew Curry, who's our co-host and our contact in Vancouver, the body language of those soldiers was not Canadian. It was not American. It was really
absolutely far. Not.
And what coupled with the video that this lady who lived near the airport up there, North Bay, Ottawa, where the runway was, she went up, she snuck up to a snow-covered embankment there, took a selfie of herself and turned the camera. And yes, those airplanes were UN. And also, I went through the whole video trying to get a clear picture of the patches on the soldiers' uniforms. None of those patches were Canadians. They actually look like stylized UN logos or Eastern European. Now, here's an interesting thing that's happened.
Now I think we've got something. I actually saw everything that you saw. I did hear what sounded like Slavic languages from these people.
Right.
Yes.
And this was actually this was an operation that could have been pursued really, really easily by the Canadian police themselves. They were not handling a violent crowd. They were handling a bunch of people who wanted to party in the evening and make a grand gesture during the day. And basically that's something you can almost do with a bit of good humor. And they decided not to do that. So I think what we saw was actually a coup d'etat attempt by Trudeau, yes, wanted to keep the Emergency Measures Act in situ indefinitely, and he failed. So they have to get rid of him.
Yeah.
And God bless Canada. Really, really.
Yeah.
Thank you, Canada. You treated me so kindly.
Yeah.
May I interject a couple of comments here, Robert?
Please, go ahead, David.
Yeah. First of all, it is a known fact that Ottawa pays the Toronto Star $650 million per year to support the propaganda campaign that the Star prints out there. I think it's called the Toronto Star. Second of all, Robert, you and I have both had training. And when I looked at the body language of these military people, these are professional mercenaries. They are not policemen. The way they carried the baton and the position and the placement of the baton along their body was a mercenary training. That's mercenary training.
Yes.
And finally, I'm going to say, what happened to the no confidence vote in Canada? Why isn't that being put forth on Trudeau?
Well, because Trudeau has made a pact with the NDP, the New Democratic Party, which is actually arch-communists that are led by a Muslim leader there. So, again, we come back to this phenomenon that I named in 1999 after reading the Chinese War Plan, and it's called Communislam, and that is what is being pushed. This is what is being pushed by the United Nations as the global government. I want to get back to that topic that I brought up, the ANC model that Obama and his coterie of advisors are ANC-inspired. Who's really running the United States? Barack Obama, Valerie Jarrett, Michelle Obama, Susan Rice, Kamala Harris is holding this, keeping the seat warm in the vice presidency in case something happens to Biden. And Biden, if the Republicans win both the House and the Congress this coming election, the new Congress will be inaugurated on January 4th. And rest assured, that on January 5th, impeachment proceedings against Joe Biden for all the crimes that we've outlined during the last several months, but in particular during the last hour, are going to come to a head. But nothing is going to happen to Joe Biden as long as Kamala Harris is in the vice president's seat, because nobody's going to get rid of Biden to put Kamala in the presidency, or Nancy Pollution, as I like to call her. They will Spiro Agnew. What they will do is they will Spiro Agnew Kamala Harris. And by that I mean that before they could get rid of Richard Nixon back in the early 70s, they would not get rid of him to put Spiro Agnew, a corrupt politician from Maryland, in the White House. So they got rid of Spiro Agnew, and they had an appointee, Gerald Ford, who could keep the secrets of the John F. Kennedy assassination and the UFO secrets really tight-lipped. So that's what I foresee happening. And it was an attempted coup d'etat in Canada, and Justin Trudeau is hanging on by a hair. But it turns out that the NDP in Saskatchewan and Alberta was against him. And what has happened is that Justin Trudeau has now spurred, once again, a secessionist movement that was very strong in the 1990s. Western Canada was debating whether or not to secede from the Dominion and perhaps join the United States. And I think that Trudeau has given Western Canadians good reason to revisit that idea. And I welcome them. I hope that Western Canada should join with the United States. We belong together. We are the same culture. We are the same people. So back to David. Back to David.
Oh, yes. Well, I think I've said it all. I mean, I don't know what else to say other than I just hope this doesn't devolve into a Cambodian killing fields, because I see Putin. He's going to destroy this country. He's going to absolutely destroy it.
I think that cooler heads will prevail. I think that there will be a meeting for a ceasefire very soon. I've heard that Israel is helping negotiate, Benjamin Netanyahu in particular. I've heard his name mentioned, talking to Putin and talking to Zelensky. Who would have thought that a comedian could emerge to become a culture hero like Zelensky has? And people don't know.
He's no pushover either.
He's not. But here's the amazing part of the story. Zelensky was a comedian who wrote a Ukrainian TV series script about a comedian that becomes the president of Ukraine. And he made that whole thing come true. I would like to take a moment here to share screens and to give the good word to our Canadian brothers and sisters who are fighting for freedom. They're fighting not only for their freedom, but for all people's freedoms. They have inspired the entire world. Wellington was taken over. I don't know what they're doing over there in New Zealand, but New Zealand and Australia, the government, shame on you. You're despicable. You don't deserve the names Australian and New Zealanders. You're behaving like Nazis and communists and New World Orderlies. But there is a man who spoke recently in support of the truckers, and that is none other than President Trump. So I'd like to play a little bit of this.
As everyone here understands, the COVID mandates are just one part of a much larger crisis. The radical left is trying to replace American democracy with woke tyranny. They want to do the same thing to America that Trudeau has been doing to Canada, and much, much worse. The tyranny we have witnessed in Canada in recent weeks should shock and dismay people all over the world. In an advanced Western democracy, the peaceful movement of patriotic truckers, workers, and families protesting for their most basic rights and liberties has violently put down. Their assets and life savings have been frozen. They have been slandered as Nazis, racists, and terrorists. These are the names they've been called. They've been arrested and charged with phony crimes. They've been falsely accused of loyalty to foreign powers. All over the flags, the love for their country. Native Americans are there too, and they love our country. They're being hunted down like enemies of their own government and treated worse than drug dealers and murderers or rapists. A line has been crossed. You're either with the peaceful truckers or you are with the left-wing fascists. And that's what's been happening. And it's been a strong line. We stand with the truckers and we stand with the Canadian people in their noble quest to reclaim their freedom.
Folks, that is President Trump speaking at the CPAC 2022. And at this point, let's say a silent prayer for our Canadian friends. They're being persecuted, even though the so-called crisis is over in Ottawa. A personal crisis is coming because communists are a vindictive lot. And Trudeau is a very vindictive and, at the moment, rabidly angry individual. And they are going after the truckers, their families, their children, even their pets. They threaten to take the pets of the truckers and euthanize them. How low is that? How base? How inhuman is that? So now they are using videos to try to track down organizers. Another very serious note. We have not heard anything about the condition of Tamara Leach. She was the woman who was one of the organizers and fundraisers for the Freedom Truckers, Freedom Convoy. And she was arrested last Saturday. And a rumor emerged during the middle of the week that she had been found dead, strangled, in the Ottawa police station. I've asked for confirmation. I've asked for verification that she's still alive. No one has gotten back to me, and not a word has been said about the condition or the status, living or dead, of Tamara Leach. And this is what communist dictatorships often do. They'll arrest a prisoner, they'll put them in jail, and they'll be suicided. No differently than Jeffrey Epstein was suicided in the Manhattan Correctional Facility. And most recently, Jean-Luc Brunel died in a Paris jail, also hung, how coincidentally, also hung in his jail cell. And he was the procurer, as we say popularly, the pimp for Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. So critical things are happening. Now, there's a subject that we have not discussed, which is the targeting of U.S.-funded biolabs in the Ukraine. Perhaps David would like to comment on that, or Raymond?
I will mention that I had a conversation with Mr. Stephen Quayle a long time ago, and we had discussed the mysterious death and disappearance of over 300 virologists and epidemiologists over the last 10 years, which is of great concern. In addition to those 300, there are 150 astronomers since Robert Harrington and Tom Van Flanderen of Planet X fame have also died of mysterious circumstances. So
I've been tracking that too. That's a really interesting mystery. Beginning in the early 1990s, microbiologists and virologists were dying, dropping, disappearing. And the conclusion that I came to was that there was a war, a secret war going on between the bioweapons makers in the different countries, Russia, Britain. I know that the Marconi Institute lost a whole bunch of scientists, as did many American companies. And I came to the conclusion that these scientists were being knocked off by the intelligence agencies, that yes. the CIA was killing the Eastern Bloc, and the Eastern Bloc was knocking off virologists and microbiologists who were working on really these deadly pathogens for bioweapons research. So did you come to that conclusion too, David?
I know you absolutely, thought. Absolutely, without doubt.
Beyond,
I mean, you just don't lose 125. I think it was 127 that Stephen and I last counted. Astronomers, it just doesn't happen.
Right.
And in the medical field, 300 people, doctors, research people. I mean, this boggles the statistical possibilities of such things. They're preposterous.
Right. I wonder if Sean has any comment on that. You must have seen that too.
Well, for example, the James LeDuc, whom I mentioned earlier, was the guy who set up the Wuhan lab in 1986 and was probably responsible for the Omicron variant, which was developed at his lab, which was the Galveston lab. His interlocutor in the correspondence was a guy called Philip Russell, who was the United States Army's head bioweapons guy. And he has mysteriously died during this moment. Mm-hmm. During their correspondence, James LeDuc referred to the two Chinese physicians who blew the whistle on all of this. Right at the start, and both of these were, as he said, terminated by the Chinese government. So a lot of scientists were getting terminated. In Ireland, where I'm from, I lost my job in Ireland as a university professor for teaching a course called Science and Society, and it was completely accredited. There was nothing wrong with it, and I got fired for teaching it. And I'm saying that because Dolores Cal, whom some of you have heard of, Dolores Cal is actually the person who blew the whistle on COVID-19 in Ireland in May 2020. And she got fired last year in University College Dublin for teaching a course in Science and Society. Now, it would be very dangerous to actually try and kill us in Ireland. It's not a country where it's a good idea to kill people like that. It's really, really not that kind of country. China, obviously, you can do it. And the United States, it looks very much like you can do it. So the guy's name was Philip Russell. Look him up. Philip Russell was a very, very senior biodefense guy who was taken out during this epidemic.
We should also remember David Kelly, who was a whistleblower during the build-up to the Iraq War when we were accusing Saddam Hussein of having weapons of mass destruction. He was a British analyst, and he was found under a tree, suicide.
I mean, they then released a lot of information about his mother committing suicide in similar circumstances. And there is no indication whatsoever that David Kelly was suicidal. He was under a lot of pressure, but he was bearing up. And David Kelly is an extraordinary case. So the best way of looking at this for me is they tried once. They tried the doctrine of preventative war during the W. Bush era. And then under Obama, God help us, we were just in a state of complete confusion because this guy claimed to be left-wing and a liberal, was basically just a prostitute for Wall Street. This filthy bastard who was, I call him Barry the Bullshitter. Forgive me, forgive my Irish coarseness in this.
That's fine.
Come back, talking just nonsense. So we had Obama with his coup d'etat. And now we've had COVID-19, which has, there are over 10 billion of these toxic injections have been put into human beings, which undoubtedly will mean that the DNA of these people is going to contain some bat component. If they have children, their children are going to be part bat.
I always wanted to be Batman, but not that way.
Let me pose something else that might be a little off topic, but it's one of my concerns, and that is when you mentioned the Gulf War with Bush Sr. and then, of course, Bush the Stupid. I mean, it seems to me that many of these wars, particularly in the Middle East, when people used to say, it's sort of like, in the towers when the guy on the ground says, oh, no, I saw the planes. They hit the building. I saw it on TV. You know, I mean, give me a break. But these wars may be archaeological wars, because when you look at the area around the poor and the museums, Saddam's museums and the underground caves that he had all the Sumerian tablets in, before our troops even arrived in those areas, there were special squads. I don't know if there were Germans dressed up in United States uniforms or whatever, but they were very high tech, and they spirited out over 20,000 Sumerian tablets. And I used to say, when people would say, oh, I've seen the tracks in the sand, those were heavy missile carriers that made the tracks in those sands. When Powell, came up and showed these tracks in the sand and all this other horse shit. Those are missiles of mass destruction that are being cavorted around the country. I used to say to my friends, what weapons of mass destruction? You mean the tablets of destiny? I mean, but I wonder if there are any archaeological sites in the Ukraine that are of merit and deserve attention that may be destroyed.
Oh, yes, indeed. Let me tell you, when Putin invaded Ukraine and took it over, it was right after the discovery of a huge pyramid that has been there for thousands and older, they say, than...
It's covered in dirt, right. Yeah,
yeah, and there's a tradition. Ukraine has, literally for thousands of years, Ukrainians have built pyramid-shaped houses. So apparently, right, when this discovery was made, Putin jumped on it. He wanted that pyramid more than anything else. In addition, of course, strategically, to the port of Sevastopol, the warm water port. The reason that Ukraine and Crimea are so important to Russia is that they're the only warm weather ports for exporting their goods. Everything right. else gets frozen in during the Russian winter. Leningrad.
Of course, the Crimea, the Russians already had a naval base that they had been leasing. So they had military presence before they took it over.
The other thing is that Crimea was part of Russia until 60 years ago, when Nikita Khrushchev took it and gave it to Ukraine, or assigned it next to Ukraine, in order to facilitate the bureaucracy and the paperwork dealing with oil shipments. The other thing to remember is that Nikita Khrushchev was Ukrainian. And Nikita Khrushchev is a hero in my eyes, because even though the credit always goes to President Kennedy for resolving the Cuban Missile Crisis, it really was a joint venture. It really was President Kennedy working against the CIA, working sub rosa, literally, using a... Those are the sounds of New York City news, folks. This is the real thing. This is not special effects. They'll be gone in a moment, and God bless them. As I say to my audience, I'm never bothered by the sound of an ambulance on my show, because it shows that here in America, someone is in trouble, and someone who doesn't even know them is racing to their aid. Now back to Nikita Khrushchev, the hero Nikita Khrushchev. Khrushchev worked with President Kennedy using a reporter named John Scali of ABC News as their intermediary, because both the CIA and the KGB were war hawks, and they were irrational. So it was both President Kennedy, the first Irish president of the United States, the first Catholic president of the United States, who, working with the atheist, Marxist, Leninist Nikita Khrushchev, saved the world from nuclear holocaust in 1962. But more importantly, or equally important, is understanding that the person who won the Battle of Stalingrad, the man who was in charge of the Russian army, was Nikita Khrushchev.
Nikita Khrushchev, right.
And when President Kennedy met with Khrushchev in Vienna and was trying to glad hand him, I would say, you know, we're really friendly guys, you know, we don't have anything against Russia, we should work together. Khrushchev looked at Kennedy and he said to him, how can I believe anything you say when I look across the Berlin Wall, the same German general that I fought at Stalingrad is in charge of the NATO armies. And there it is in a nutshell. Imagine that. And also, again, I remind people that Khrushchev was no one, he was not easy to deal with, and he was very devious and equally cunning. And he is the one who said, if you want to worry your opponent, rub on his blister. And CIA and Joe Biden and NATO and Jan Stoltenberg, who in my eyes is a serpent-tongued liar, a coward, a manipulator, they led the sacrificial lamb of Ukraine to the slaughter. The Ukrainians are putting up a tremendous fight. They wiped out a Russian brigade that tried to take the airport. They were waiting. You know, airports are really important strategic and tactical locations. So the Ukrainians knew the Russians were going to try to take the airport north of Kiev. And they were waiting, and they slaughtered. I heard the body count was 88 Russian paratroopers were killed on the descent. They didn't even make it to the ground. And, of course, there's now a legend growing around a pilot whose nickname is Rument, who apparently went up in a fulcrum, a Russian jet. He flew a Russian jet up against the Russian jets and destroyed six jets before he crashed into Kiev. So the legends are growing, but really I think that it's time to put this thing to a stop. Otherwise, it's going to turn into a massive land war in Europe, and we'll be back at Verdun. And, you don't have to say much more than Verdun. 1.5 million men died in a stalemate at Verdun. So let's pray that they can see their way out of this. Raymond Singer, do you have a comment on Ukraine or on Canada?
I had a comment that is kind of a more fundamental end of discussion. We've spoken about communism and its pernicious effect, and I came upon a quote by Mao Zedong that I thought was very interesting and worthwhile to ponder, when he said, "It is so rewarding with endless joy to fight against heaven, against earth, and against people." So Mao Zedong, he put it so beautifully and so poetically, but if you take that to heart, it's very chilling what he's urging communists to do. And this explains what we've seen with communism, is that the ends justify the means. So communists can do all sorts of terrible things, but because they have an idealistic end. And I wanted to just reflect on that for a moment, that it can explain why so many Americans and some Canadians have been seduced by the specter of communism, in that they think that it's going to bring about a world of peace and a world of harmony, and man will be victorious over what? And here we see Mao Zedong saying, yes, man needs to be victorious over heaven, over earth, and over people. And a world, that's not the world that I want to live in, where heaven is banished and earth is banished and people are banished. But it is this communism seducing the theorist of communism, seducing people into this view of, yeah, again, a messianic era, as many people are waiting for either the coming of the Messiah or the second coming of the Messiah or some variation of that, we have that good impulse hijacked by communists saying, yes, we're going to build a better world where everyone will have enough, we'll have a world of peace. And the way to do that is to fight against heaven, against earth, and against people. Very, very chilling when I came across that.
Chilling, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, any comments?
David?
Oh, well, that is chilling indeed, Doctor.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's been the flaw in communism. They've always posited that they can create a better man. A better man, the engineering of a new man, of a new human. They really weren't that far off from Hitler and his master race, but they thought that they could do it sociologically and psychologically, engineer a new kind of human being based on the ideas of the collective and communization of society, which led...
Let me intervene at this point because yes, this is really the apropos. Currently, we have a so-called pandemic under the aegis of which there is an attempt to change human DNA. So it's not yes. just changing people's ideology. They want to get right back down into your DNA. They are injecting you with shit. We don't really know what it is because it's all under emergency use authorization, so they don't really test what it is. But we do know that the original SARS-CoV-2 could actually write itself into the genome. So right now, those of you who have taken the injections are very possibly having your DNA changed. So this is not ideological stuff. This is not something like the Marxist idea of Bewusstsein or being bewusst class conscious. This is basically you turning into some kind of different creature. And this is being done, as we have pretty good documentation to suggest, it's being done under the aegis of the World Economic Forum. It's being done using the cover of science. And we are to become something which is no longer a human being, but is something which is part human being, part bat, part mouse, part rat, part God knows what. And this is not theory, folks. If you've taken those injections, you are part human being, part bat, part other creatures, and part cyborg. And your descendants will be the same. So let's not really bother ourselves too much about Marxism and their view of the future. Let's look at what we are right now. The challenge we face right now. As Americans, currently, your armed forces have basically been compromised greatly by these injections, which are sterilizing and mutilating them, killing several of them, and causing neural defects which are so extreme that you're losing a lot of pilots. Let's get back to where we are right now, because Bill Gates screwed up. He let the cat out of the bag. We now know this has nothing to do with health. Yeah. So what does it have to do with? And I never thought I would say this. I don't agree politically with the other people on this program. This is not communism. This is extremely financialized capitalism. You know, but nevertheless, let's look at where we are right now and let's try and rescue ourselves.
Excellent. Thank you.
Good point, Sean. Good point. Yeah, I think many people mistake when they say mRNA. It doesn't mean messenger. It means modification of RNA. It doesn't stand for messenger.
Well, I actually pointed out 2 years ago when I saw the animations of Pfizer and Moderna, I recognized that the mechanism utilized in mRNA technology is identical to the way HIV invades the body to produce AIDS. And now the most recent revelations from CDC and from UK and other areas is that people who have been vaccinated are showing the signs of autoimmune deficiencies. And most recently, this is very disturbing, that people, CDC announced that certain groups of people who have received the injections are showing, false positives for syphilis.
Yes.
That's not very comforting. Folks, we're not trying to make you feel bad. There are all recourses. You're in danger of blood clots, so I recommend everyone who's taken the jab to get a regular D-dimer blood test. D-dimer is a protein that is produced when the body is fighting against blood clots. When it tries to dissolve the blood clots, D-dimer protein is one of the byproducts. And you can test that. And the scale goes basically from 1 to 5. Anything below 3 is normal because your body's always repairing something internally or externally. But if it's 3, you have to watch it. But if it gets up there to the 4.5 to the 5 area, if you get a factor of 0.5 in the D-dimer test, it is a caution, and you should look to getting a therapy to dissolve blood clots. And it is possible. I've seen Dr. Andreas Kalker do it. Unfortunately, he was arrested on the orders of the FDA, and he's in prison, as last I know, in Argentina. We're coming to the end of the program, folks. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Dr. Raymond Singer, Dr. Sean Nguyen, and David Pfaff. I appreciate your being here. Folks, please go to revolution.radio and contribute a donation to keep Revolution Radio on the air so that we can bring you true news, certifiable, verifiable news from the Morningstar Report. Tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, we'll be on with the right stuff, and we're going to deal with the paranormal, the occult, and the ghostly, because there are a lot of ghosts coming our way as a result of these killing machines that have been unleashed upon mankind. So God bless you all. Thank you for joining us. And tune in again next week for the Morningstar Report on Revolution Radio. Have
Thank
a good
you,
weekend.
Robert.
Thank you. God bless you too.
Junkie, I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Number one listener-supported radio, the printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
All right.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.